what the use case would really be for that, considering how volatile it has been for years. I mean, that's nothing new, yep. Like that goes all the way back into the 2000s when you were starting to see early 2000s. That was when you were just starting to fuel surcharges and, yep. All the accessorials really come into play and really impact what those spot buys were.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. The TMS market is still very regional. The TMS systems that are designed for Europe might not be the best fit for the North American market, and vice versa. The visibility data makes it even trickier. With visibility data, even the strongest of the strongest might fall short. That's probably the reason why TMS systems sign up with rival visibility platforms. So where does Alpiga stand in its capabilities, and how does it compare with other TMS systems? In today's episode, we invited a panel of industry experts for a live discussion on LinkedIn to conduct an independent review of Alpiga TMS capabilities. We covered many grounds, including their evolution and roots, as well as their corporate strategy. Finally, we covered their unique nuances, such as their partnerships with many overlapping real-time visibility platforms, their acquisition and merge of driver recruitment technology with TMS, and their unique capabilities for reusable packaging management. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. And if you are joining for the first time, this is part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday. Sometimes we do take off, but most of the time we meet on Tuesdays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. We pick one vendor or the solution that we review independently. And for today, we have a very interesting solution. It's called Alpiga. And I think it's a French word. And Dave, you can correct me if I'm off here, I guess. I don't know if you have any knowledge of the word. Andy would know. I know that, but yeah, we are going to
Andy
miss
Andy would know for sure.
So before we dig into that, we are going to start with everybody's intros. My quick intro, if you still don't know me, Sam Gupta, principal at Elevate IQ. Elevate IQ is the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm. On that note, Dave, would you like to introduce yourself next?
Sure. Thanks, Sam. Hey, everybody. My name is Dave Chrysler, and I own an operations consulting business working with leaders to help them systemize and optimize process flows. And excited to be here. Come to you with more than 25 years of, believe it or not, 25 years of doing this stuff. And it's always an adventure. So thanks for having me, Sam.
And out of those 25 years, I believe, Dave, you have spent 2.5 years reviewing these products now.
It's been fun. I'll tell you what, you would never think that there were as many solutions available on the market as there is. And, a platform like this and going through is the only way to let people know just how many different there are available.
And honestly speaking, I'm shocked at myself because, how much we can talk. I mean, 600 episodes and we have been talking a lot, I guess. It's fascinating the amount of educational content that we have put out there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, what's interesting is while a lot of the shows will weave, kind of themes together everything is really different in terms of, you know, the layers that get unlocked.
Yep.
And how these solutions are positioning themselves in the market, and how you've got to be thinking about the complex integration across the org structure when you want to talk about something as simple as one of the solutions that we've reviewed previously. So, you know, really fascinating.
Yeah, it's definitely fascinating. So let's start on the briefing, Dave, if you're ready. So in this one, I mean, this is part of our WMS, TMS solutions that we have been reviewing. So obviously these guys are part of that TMS umbrella. They have TMS word in their solution. So at least they are clarifying that they are part of that TMS family. So yes, we are going to touch on all of those layers that we generally touch for all of the TMS solutions that we have reviewed so far. I think I should be turning off your ticker. It's commercializing Dave Fleisser right now. okay, so Alpiga, right? So, so overall, in terms of the layers, so one of the layers that we have, when touching overall in terms of different solutions, number one is going to be, okay, which region are you part of? And as I correctly pointed out, I guess overall from the name perspective, these guys are positioned in the, and sometimes you might feel that for TMS, WMS, the locations might not matter as much, because everybody thinks the way they look at technology, they are all going to think that, hey, if a technology works in Europe, it should work in the US as well. Well, that's not the case, okay? Especially with TMS solutions. TMS has very unique layers, especially from the compliance perspective. The network is a big deal in general. The kind of network that you are going to have, most of the solutions are going to be fairly regionalized, even if they are claiming that they are kind of global, but their scope is going to be limited to either certain modes of transportation, or they are going to be limited in a specific region, country. The bigger solutions, obviously, their network is going to be larger, so their database is going to be much larger as well. But, you know, when you look at the SMB solution, and Alpiga is definitely a slightly more SMB solution, so the comparable for them is probably going to be Mercury Gate in my mind. And Dave, I don't know whether you attended the Mercury Gate session. They were sort of cloud native, mid-market, when you are going to outgrow the smaller ones, the shipping carrier add-ons, then you sort of go to these guys, which are going to have all of those multimodal, capabilities, but they are not going to be as big as, I don't know, maybe Blue Yonders of the world or the larger TMS solutions that we have in the market. This is the right comparable in my mind is still going to be the Mercury Gate. The difference between this and the Mercury Gate is going to be the geo. These guys are fairly focused in the Europe region. They are very well concentrated there. In fact, if you look at the way the freight exchanges work, they are going to be very specific to just one country, one market. They are generally not going to cater to any other markets. And that's where these guys are getting data from as well. And Alpiga was very well penetrated into 3 or 4 or 5 different countries. They obviously expanded, acquired a lot of different companies. So now they are much bigger. But, you know, initially they were very focused on certain countries. The other layer that we like to touch on is the external versus internal supply chain, I guess. So these guys are definitely going to be in that external supply chain realm, because TMS in general is supposed to be out of your four walls. After you finish the process from your four walls perspective, then TMS is going to take over the control, and then you are mapping the external supply chain. In terms of the suite, their suite is not going to be as rich as your Blue Yonder or E2 Open. Generally, suite has 3 or 4 different components that we have been touching so far. 3 circles of, the TMS suites, I guess, or supply chain suites, right? Dave, so that is going to be your network, execution, as well as planning. So these guys are really focused on the transportation side of things. They are not focused on supply chain side of things. And sometimes the wires get crossed there as well. So this is pure play transportation. It is execution. So they don't have as big network. They are going to have some network, but again, it's not supposed to be the Project 44. They are going to have relationship with those companies. Project 44, Four Kites, they provide the visibility, they provide the network, they provide the data, and these guys are going to have real execution, pure play execution platform. So I'll pause there for a second, Dave. Do you have any comments? Did we cover all of the layers that we touched?
Yeah, no, no comments. Yeah, I think you did a good job of unpacking where this one sits at. I think the only comment I would add to it is, you know, as you start to look at these, back to your point about that kind of localization and understanding where the expertise lies, and especially in your own org structure, or if you have ambitions for acquisition and understanding where those acquisitions may take place. If you're talking about, you've got a Canadian or US presence, but you're looking to expand into Europe, as you are evaluating, solutions, and taking a look at it from that lens becomes really important from the integration piece and what you might pick to service one application or integration versus another. So
everything is interwoven, everything is tied together. So make sure you analyze it comprehensively. I think that's the summary that you are trying to pitch here, right, Dave?
Yes.
Awesome. Love it. Awesome. Okay. So Dave, if you don't have any other comments, I'll move to the slides. Okay. Perfect. So overall, I guess in this slide, we want to touch on certain comments. Number one, on the right side, we have the Gartner quadrant. And most of the niche solutions that are not really leader in that enterprise suite, in general, what Gartner does is they position them in more of the challenger quadrant. And the reason why they do that is because obviously they have their own way of looking at this one. So I don't want to overspeak on their behalf. You have the ability to execute. So obviously, from their perspective, they are going to have a lot of functionality. But typically on the right side, they typically miss because of that enterprise focus in general. So here, from our perspective, if you look at Alpiga is a very mature solution, but they are primarily in that SMB space. And that's why it's not fair to compare them with any other suites or the enterprise grade solutions, which are going to be far more bloated overall from the capabilities perspective. And bloated, when I say in the positive light, not in the negative light, because of the feature sets that they are going to back. Here, so this commentary is coming from 2021, and this is one of their press releases, I guess. We have several of them that they have done over the period of time. So here they are talking about, this is the Gartner commentary has been identified as a challenger in the 2021 Gartner Magic Quadrant for Transportation Management System. Okay, just in the transportation category, if you go to Gartner, they are going to have many, 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 many different quadrants. So just because somebody is ranking on one particular quadrant, make sure you read it extremely carefully, because most of the time, the problem is not going to be with Gartner. Gartner is amazing. Okay, the problem is going to be the guys who are reading it. They don't know how to read it. Okay, so make sure you guys, pay attention to the fine lines in terms of what Gartner is trying to say, communicate. So in this particular case, transportation management system is referred to those systems which are going to be slightly more execution centric. It's not the term. It is going to be for the pure play TMS capabilities. For other capabilities, there might be other quadrants that might be a great fit, but this is really for the TMS capabilities. So here they are talking about Alpiga has major presence in Europe, and that's what we mentioned, that they are really European based solution. Now they may have expanded to the US. They don't, based on the reviews, I don't think they have a lot of presence in the US just yet. It's still a very, very, very European focused solution even today, and it's suitable for all levels of transportation complexity. Manufacturers and retailers across Europe are turning to digital solutions to tackle logistics process inefficiencies and gain visibility, and they rely on technology experts like those at Alpiga. Now, so one of the layers, Dave, that we have not touched is overall in terms of the industry presence, right? So TMS can be segmented in two different branches. One that are designed for more of the trucking, transportation, 3PL companies, and then you have another TMS that is designed for that manufacturing value chain, which is going to be your manufacturer, distributor, retailers. And now these two are very different capabilities, very, very, very different solution. So in this particular case, they are talking about manufacturing, retailer, and that's why I'm trying to compare them with MercuryGate. I think their focus was very similar as well. So I am actually going to move to the next segment here, which says as a modular, scalable SaaS solution. So they are definitely cloud native. That is another layer that we did not touch in the beginning. So from the technology perspective, you can be confident that they have really good technology. That's what they, that's how they are positioning. A lot of TMS solutions in the market are super clunky. Okay. So this one is going to be definitely good. So Alpica TMS enables optimization of global networks and synchronization of multimodal transportation processes. So they are definitely multimodal. A lot of them are going to cover just one or two different modes. So here you are looking at the complete supply chain, which is wonderful. So that is going to be your road, air, sea, parts, rail, parcel. That's a lot in general. Okay, if you don't have any other comments, I'll move to the next one. So here we have some more commentary, and we have gone back on time series, I guess. So now we are back in 2017. You know, 2017, and the commentary is Alpica acquires transport procurement software specialist Tender Easy. So my understanding is that they are formed somewhere in 2017, that's my understanding, by combining several different solutions. So overall, the TMS bucket has evolved as well. Just like your ERP or WMS, all of these solutions, what they are trying to do is, there's a lot of consolidation happening, okay? Initially, when they started, they were all, you know, they were doing either one mode, one process, or one country. That's how every single solution has started. And once they became successful, they started consolidating all of these companies. That's how most suites are created. So Alpica is no different. I mean, they consolidated a lot of them as well. So here they are talking about a suite of, yeah. So Alpica was formed in 2017 and offers end-to-end solutions covering all transport needs. Its suite of products include transport management services, TMS, TransWide, iNet was the previous name. They were referred to as iNet, and I guess IES, TMS, Freight Exchange, Teleroute, and there's another one. So there are at least, what, five or six different companies, I guess, Dave?
Yeah.
We are looking at combining, right? So then they are talking about has completed acquisition of Tender Easy AB as well. And Tender Easy, the way it reads, and I think we are going to look at their documentation as well. This is the quoting software. So you have many different processes. You are trying to merge all of them. So this is going to be that CPQ version of your TMS, I guess. So here we have some more commentary. TMS, TransWide, iNet, TMS. I think we have already touched on all of them. So here they have used a term called source to pay lifecycle. And we always like to point these things out because you need to be slightly careful, okay, when you read source to pay. And I would highly encourage you to build your own dictionary as well for your own company, because what source to pay means for Dave could be very different for what it means to me. So, you know, everybody has their own stories and versions. So the more you are going to document, the easier life all of you are going to have. So here, from these guys' perspective, okay, what source to pay means is you are sourcing transportation services, okay, out of all procurement. The only thing we are looking at is transportation. So be really, really careful the way you read this. Okay, so this is going to be the whole life cycle of procuring your transportation services and paying, which is a very different life cycle than your other services. Dave, comments?
No, I just, you know, it's super appropriate your commentary on that, because, you know, it's something as simple as this that can just derail so many things. You know, as silly as it may sound to some folks, I mean, I've seen it time and time again play out, and it really is as simple as it means one thing to one, you know, person and company, and it means something completely different in a different context to somebody else and within that company. So, yeah, you know, your comment in terms of not only creating kind of an internal, dictionary and reference, but understanding as you're evaluating, you know, your process flows, and as we get to system selection, that you have that same conversation. What does this mean to me within the context of our organization? Because it's, you know, if Andy were here, I think he would agree, but it's one of the major problems with software demos. You know, they're using their context, their terminology. Yep. And if you don't have the kind of wherewithal to stop and question that, you could very easily think that this does something completely different than what it really does. Yep. And now all of a sudden we're in the midst of training and you say, well, what about my other vendors? How do I cut a PO and source for that?
Oh, you meant customers, right?
You know,
the customers and vendors could be mixed as well. I've seen that as well.
You know, and then everybody circles back and says, well, that wasn't a part of this. And then, you know, they're saying, well, yes, it was. Look, it's right here. So, yeah, it could get very messy very quickly for something
as simple as that. It's all about language, semantics with ERP, and it could be million-dollar mistakes, guys. So be really, really careful.
Yeah.
Okay, so source to pay, be careful here. It really means transportation services. Lifecycle on a single web-based platform through the integrated Tender Easy tool. Users can search and analyze Alpiga's unique 50,000-plus carrier database, and they have been explicit in stating that. But most people just ignore the details because they just feel that, okay, you know, I understand source to pay. Why do I need to pay attention, I guess? But they did specify that. So request for quotation and use powerful algorithm to optimize and analyze the results. Okay, I don't have anything else here. So pre-tender data analysis and supplier management to automated carrier allocation and freight audit. Again, if you pay attention to details, you will understand that they are really talking about the freight management. Again, you need to have a little subject matter expertise to be able to comprehend this. Otherwise, you probably won't understand. So if you don't have anything else, I'm going to move to the next one. So this is another acquisition. So we are moving through our timeline. So we are in 2017. This is probably in 2018. Yes, it is in 2018. So here, this is one more, commentary. So this is the geographic footprint expansion. So here they are talking about they have expanded in countries such as Italy, France, and Germany. No, they are trying to describe this particular exchange, right? W Transnet. Am I reading it right, Dave? W Transnet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. That's an interesting name. Is the leading freight exchange in Spain and Portugal with a growing footprint in countries such as Italy, France, Germany. And they are talking about some sort of ownership, founded in 1996, headquartered in Spain, used by more than 11,500 customers. I don't have anything else here. So, yeah, so they were in some other areas. So Alpiga was in other areas, such as your France, Romania, and they expanded in these countries, you know, through this acquisition. So that was the effort as part of this acquisition. With this acquisition, they are stating that Alpiga is growing its carrier network to significantly more than 70,000 transport professionals across Europe. Again, Europe is a keyword here that we have already touched, which provides for a strong value add to its customer. 70,000, if you compare this with other networks, for example, E2 Open, etc., this is very, 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 very small network. And again, this is the mid-market platform. Okay, they are concentrated in Europe. So for them, it might be okay. But if you simply compare apple to apple in terms of network size, this is small. Dave, if you have any comments, we can take that or move to the next one. Okay, so now we are in 2020, 2 years ahead, I guess. So here, this is the growth announcement, and they were growing really fast, I guess, from 19 to 20, which is very interesting. And that's where COVID hit, I guess, you know, right in Feb 2020, right? If my recollection is right. So here they are talking about acceleration in the SME segment. So they did a lot in the SME segment. So as you can probably infer from here that they are very well penetrated in the SMB space. They are not meant to be enterprise solution. As more and more mid-sized companies embrace technology to enable business efficiency and reduce cost while lowering carbon emissions. In 2019, we added 83 new clients in the TMS world, in the SMB space. That's a lot. Then can start with a solution focused on FTL, full truckload and road transport, before expanding to incorporate live tracking or advanced planning while addressing multimode land, sea, rail, and air with less truckloads LTL. So obviously they are trying to grow a lot in terms of their geographic footprint, in terms of different modes that they can support, as well as different capabilities. Yeah, so this has been their journey. I mean, they have grown a lot overall in terms of the thickness of the solution as well, just like any other TMS platform. Next. Okay. So did I jump two or just one? One. No, two.
Yeah, just no. You're nope. Good.
So this is the next one. I think we jumped the ship one. So this is the next announcement. So this is also in 2020. Last slide was in what, Feb 2020, Dave, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So this
February,
is in
June.
Yeah. So June 2020. So 4 months ahead. And here they have partnered with Shippeo. Okay. And one of the trend that you may be able to notice is Shippeo is a very European centric real time transport visibility platform. There is a distinction. Okay. So you have platforms that are designed for visibility, and there are platforms who are designed for execution. And this is the marriage made in heaven. You need data, you need execution. It's almost like SNOP and ERP, okay? FP&A and ERP, that kind of marriage, okay? Because you, one is data platform, one is slightly more operational execution, you know, transactional processing platform. So in this particular case, the TMS is going to be your transactional processing platform. Shippeo is going to be network, data, you know, planning is you are going to get from there. But again, Shippeo is the European variant of your Project 44, your four kites of the world. They are slightly more in the US. Shippeo is in Europe. And the reason why they have partnered with them first is because both are present in Europe. So you can deduct from this one that, you know, they are really Europe focused solution. Now, Alpica TMS, by gathering real-time information on multimodal transportation flows in over 60 countries with a strong focus on road and maritime. Okay, so they were focused on road and maritime. I think they have added other modes later on. It offers best in market estimated time of arrival accuracy. Now, if you are going to read the marketing material of every single package out there, they all are going to have best in market estimated time of. There is no way in the hell you have that. The reason why you don't have that is because you require data to be able to predict confidently, and your network is not as big. Okay, so the bigger the network, the more data that you are going to have, especially proprietary, then your algorithm is going to be far richer. So if we talk about the accuracy of the algorithm, again, it goes by the network. These guys will not have that. This is all marketing. Okay, so pay attention to the strength of the network. This could be a great solution for mid-market. And you know, like, not everybody has to get like 99.99%. You might be okay. I mean, I'm okay with 90%, I guess, or 80%. Who cares? You know, so depending upon how much you are paying, but this may not be the best in market estimated time of arrival accuracy, even though they are. As the European leader for real-time transportation visibility, Shippeo was a natural fit, and I completely agree. It was a natural fit because they were both in Europe. So obviously, you know, this makes sense for them. Now the next one. Now this is the interesting one, right? So this is in August 2020. So if we do our competition, Dave, so this is like what, after 2 months, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, I was impressed three slides ago with the growth. It's no,
but I mean,
it's
here
incredible.
We are talking about the Project 44. Okay, so yeah. If you look at Shippeo and Project 44, Project 44 is supposed to be the bigger daddy, you know, of the real-time visibility platform. So if you really think about it, Dave, so the way real-time visibility works is, I mean, obviously you are acquiring network, you are acquiring data, you know, that's why you are now, technically, Shippeo and Project 44, they both are competitors, okay? Project 44 is going to have much bigger network. They are penetrated a lot in the US, you know, so they partnered with these guys as well. Now, if you had best-in-class accuracy with Shippeo, why do you have to partner with Project 44? It doesn't make any sense, okay? So basically, the only reason why they are partnering, two reasons. Number one, either they are trying to offer the choice, or, you know, they are simply trying to gather data from as many sources so their insight can be powerful. But in general, in my mind, these two are very distinct. You know, offerings, because one is very strong in the Europe market, one is very strong, you know, in a lot of markets, including US. So that's where distinction is. But I mean, within 2 months, they signed up their bigger daddy as well.
Yeah. My only takeaway on this was just the fact that they wanted to try to offset some of what the Shipyo was doing kind of best in class in Europe with the North American market. So without knowing enough about Shipyo to understand how much data they have access to on the North American side, yeah. It could be that scenario too, where if they've got, they're either trying to come into the North American market or they're serving clients today with kind of what I laid out in terms of that, org infrastructure.
Yeah.
That would certainly make sense to why they would need to tap into the additional data. So, or, you know, back to your point, it certainly could be, wanting to kind of say that we have it all.
Yeah, and I think I don't know whether we have reviewed Shipyo so far or not. If not, I don't think so.
I don't recall that name, so I don't believe so.
They are definitely going to be on next year's list, I guess. You know, we have definitely reviewed Project 44, and Dave, you missed some of them, I guess. Yeah. I don't know whether you were part of Project 44, Four Kites. The real-time visibility platform is a segment in itself. It's a very separate segment compared to what we have reviewed. So it's a category in itself. Shipyo is a great platform, to be completely honest. I mean, it's probably among top four, on Gartner's list. If you look at the top real-time visibility platform after Project 44, as well as Four Kites, I mean, Shipyo is probably like top four, top five. Yeah.
I just took a look and we have not done Shipyo yet.
Interesting. So we definitely need to have them on our list. So we have a lot of content to go through for the next year too. Good to know. Okay, so here, they are talking about verticals across North America and Europe. So now I think they have used the term North America because previously the only thing they were referring to is your Europe. Because Shipyo was really focused on Europe, right? Here, now the commentary is going to sound very similar. So here they are talking about Project 44 has built the most extensive multimodal network that reaches across more than 120, and that is right as well. You know, they are really comprehensive. Shipyo is just subset of what Project 44 has. They might have richer data in Europe for the most part, but Project 44 is really big overall in their presence as well as in terms of their network. The company delivers 99.7% coverage of truckload and less than truckload carriers in North America and Europe. And yes, that is probably right. They are really, really strong there. And now they are being slightly specific as well in their commentary. And they are talking about with the majority consistently tracking over 90% compliance. It also provides ocean coverage for 85% of containers shipped globally and 100% coverage of the class one, class two railroads, which I completely believe on these stats. They are number one being specific. Number two, Project 44 is really, really big in general. So these two partnership. Now, I guess this is my problem. And I don't know. I don't have enough information, I guess, Dave, to make an informed commentary on this one. But this is a shocker for me. Okay. So this is coming. So that was in August. Now this is in October. So within 2 months, they signed a partnership with Four Kites as well. And Four Kites is a rival for Project 44, literally a rival. Okay. And why do you need both of them? I don't understand. Okay. So this is where I think everybody has a lot of data, but you also need a lot of data. You literally need data from everybody to be able to do your AI machine learning to have the forecasting algorithm. So that would be my understanding why everybody's trying to sign up as many partnerships as they can in their power, I guess, and gather as much data, because data is where the power is. And that's why they are signing two major competitors all together, and they have zero problems with it. I don't get it. Typically, enterprise software, Dave, you know how much politics is there. I mean, you never hang out with rival. As soon as you do that, your contract is... But with AI, we have seen Microsoft and Oracle hanging out together. So now I think everybody needs to be together, I guess, because everybody needs data. But this is happening in 2020. At that time, generative AI wasn't there. So they signed up a little early, which is very, very, very interesting. Now, global leader in real-time and predictive supply chain visibility for shippers, carriers, and logistics service providers as part of its strategic value added, adding partner ecosystem I mean, it could be that it does seem like the way it is positioned, to be completely honest, is they are trying to be present in as many ecosystems and they are really offering the choices. So let's say the customer might already use Four Kites or they might use your Alphega, then the customer can use. So they are going to be integrated and they are going to have as many integration. That could be a possibility as well. So either data or the choices seem to make sense more based on this commentary. Okay, so here 2020 again, freight rate benchmarking and market analytics platform providing the world's largest data set of real-time and on-demand ocean and air freight rates. So this is another partnership that they have announced in 2020. So they have done a lot in 2020 when the world was going down, but they were acquiring left and right, I guess, which is very interesting. They must have a very hungry CFO. So here, Tender Easy procurement platform and Zenita's, you know, databases providing customers with latest information on rates. So this is the rate play. Again, they are trying to simply expand the capabilities. One thing that I have not noticed so far is the freight rate benchmarking. So this is slightly newer for me. I don't think we have seen this with any other platform. They might have, they might not be as expressive about this particular capabilities, but these guys, this seems slightly newer overall in terms of the TMS solutions that we have reviewed. But yeah, I mean, the freight rate benchmarking, I mean, I would buy it blindly because obviously there's a real money there. Dave, comments?
No, it's I agree, it's interesting. I mean, you know, it's my first thought is, but you know, even the highlighted portion, I mean, you know, freight generally is relatively volatile, spot freight, especially anything LTL. So, you know, it's interesting to see how that the access to the data and how you can aggregate that information. I'm sure there's insights to be gleaned from it, right? It's just, it's interesting how what the use case would really be for that, considering how volatile it has been for years. I mean, that's nothing new, you know, like that goes all the way back into, you know, the 2000s when you were starting to see, you know, early 2000s, that was when you were just starting to fuel surcharges and, you know, all the accessorials really come into play and really impact what those spot buys were. So that, I don't know, that was just kind of a couple of thoughts in and around that particular piece. I mean, it's, you know, we know data drives it all. So, you know, if you have the data, there's got to be insights.
Yeah, those annoying pennies, they add up pretty fast.
yeah, well, they really do, you know, and they can impact a lot of things outside of, you know, especially from the decision-making process. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and Dave, I'll give you a story on that, right? I mean, as you know, we do a lot of selection and contract negotiation, right? So sometimes, I mean, these SaaS vendors, I mean, they're always, hey, don't worry about it, $50 an hour. So $50, you know, per month, the SaaS license, $200 per month. And when you add the numbers, I mean, soon you are going to have like $1 million per year. And you're like, what? Like 20 users, $200 per month. How the hell it is $1 million? But yeah, it adds up pretty fast. It adds up pretty fast. Okay, so we have one comment from Anders. Anders Green, if you don't know him, you should definitely follow him. The best guy to know, I guess, in the ERP industry, A-N-D-R-S-G-R-E-N. Most fun as well. He should be given an award, I guess. You know, estimated time arrival in a post-COVID distribution environment where there seems to be a shift away from super lean inventories and toward we need to keep some buffer stock. I wonder to what degree this metric remains a high priority business solving tool. So I could definitely use translation a little bit, Dave, the way Anders write. I mean, it's always, you know, hard to understand, I guess. In a post-COVID distribution environment, there seems to be a shift away.
I think what he's really trying to say is the fact that, you know, there was for many, many years pre-pandemic, there was a big push to just in time. And, you know, again, back to our comment in terms of just in time meant different things to different people. Right. but I think what he's really trying to say is, you know, kind of coming out of COVID, there are more and more people looking at the just-in-time and reevaluating safety stock levels because of the supply chain issues that were brought forward during COVID, and how that kind of relates then back to, you know, hey, does it really matter when this stuff is going to arrive if it's within a 1 to 2 day window, let's say, or a 3 day window versus when you're running just in time, that delivery, you know, anticipated delivery date and time becomes ultra critical because that could be a line down, you know, that could impact many other things if you're running a real just in time. So I think that's kind of the point of the comment. I don't disagree with him, but again, I go back to what your original comment was, and, you know, just in time means different things for different people.
Yeah.
I also dislike, and not Anders' comment, but this is a more generalized statement. I dislike very much that people associate kind of lean thinking, and just in time around, you know, eliminating or not having the appropriate amount of inventory. It's a, you know, kind of a big misconception there. It's kind of like people that want to lump together those things with, you know, layoffs or something that impacts direct labor. You know, while some people will certainly utilize that as reasoning behind it, the intent is never to do either one of those things. So, you know, felt that was a good opportunity to give a little lean thinking plug in there for folks.
Yeah, no, that was great. I mean, we should probably do that more, I guess. You know, we need to align these things in terms of the way terms are used. And there is one more layer. I don't know, you know, in your comment, whether we touched it or not, and I don't know whether that is coming across, but when you look at the estimated time arrival, okay, this is really from the transportation perspective, okay? So the total estimated time of arrival, when you look at more from the procurement perspective, obviously the time for your carrier is going to be part of that because that's the total sum. But here, the only thing when you look at ETA is really for your carriers and drivers. Typically in the ERP community, the way ETAs are referred, it's very different from what they are saying. So here the ETA is really from the carrier perspective, from the TMS perspective, for their scheduling, as opposed to your shop floor warehouse scheduling, which is very, 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 very different. Just to be clear.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not a stretch for many people to take a look at that and try to bring that data somewhere. But, you know, there's like everything, there are so many variables that go into not just providing that, but what happens when you actually hit the delivery gate or, you know, security checkpoint, or depending on your org infrastructure. I've seen some pretty incredible things happen to truck drivers just trying to deliver material.
Could not agree more. All right, so let's keep rolling here. So we have some more acquisitions here. So Alpiga Group acquires Road Heroes, and this is a very interesting acquisition as well as business model, which I don't think I have seen a similar company before. So this is a very interesting acquisition. So here, Road Heroes truck driver platform. So, okay, the reason why I find it now, I recall this. So this is a very similar trend that we are seeing in the ERP community as well, where they are trying to consolidate a lot of recruiting capabilities as part of your execution platform, which is just fascinating for me, the way, you know, these architectural boundaries are being blurred. So this is very interesting because typically all of these recruitment related to your drivers, they would fall under your HR bucket. You would not sort of consolidate that as part of your operational workflow. So it was always very siloed experience. But now they are trying to consolidate because the driver availability became a huge challenge in the trucking industry. And that's why they are trying to consolidate. And that's why I found this particular acquisition very interesting. So here they are saying it is estimated that Europe has a shortage of roughly about 400,000 truck drivers today. And this particular combination or consolidation, we have not seen with any other vendor so far. So this is only with Alpiga. Alpiga provides a European-wide platform for hiring companies and prospective drivers to showcase why us and why me in an effort to give both parties a competitive edge to fulfill the market needs, matching between job offers and truck drivers to maximize the reference. Now, don't ask me whether this is a right architecture right acquisition or not. I cannot comment on that. I just find it interesting because this is new. I have never seen that before. Go ahead, Dave.
You know, if you think about it, Sam, if you take kind of the people element out of it and look at it in more of a black and white scenario, to me, this is just another tuck in of a supply chain element. You know, you could look at it almost as, procurement raw material. So, obviously it is significantly different than that. But I think the thought process around doing an acquisition like this, to your point, it's super interesting. And it would be in this type of scenario. I was thinking through what other types of scenarios might you see this in. I couldn't come up with one quickly, but I really like it. I think it's an interesting complement. It brings the kind of control element versus outsourcing that piece of it, which they've been doing through this third party, let's say. It brings that element back in. It kind of brings everybody into alignment.
Yeah.
The people needing the work, the people, providing the work and the process flow through that. So I don't know. For that reason, I find it really fascinating. Be interesting to see if there's some other, somebody, I don't know. I can't think of another great example, but I think this is an interesting one to check out.
So I'll give you my version or my red flags, why I find it slightly alarming, to be completely honest. The reason why HR systems are different from your financial operational systems is because HR has very different confidential data that you don't want to share with the organization. And here, when you are trying to tightly embed your HR data with your operational data, it's wild, wild west, I guess. So that's where, in my mind, the wires are crossed. But depending upon how much you are hosting, what processes are you hosting, where you are going to draw the boundary between your HR versus your core operational workflow. So I guess that's where I am. That's where my position is. And that is the reason why maybe other bigger systems, they are not combining these processes, because there is a cleanliness issue overall from the architecture perspective, Dave.
Yeah, I could see that perspective for sure in my, what I would anticipate to be an appropriate system architecture. There would certainly be some integration between those. But that is a good point in terms of depending on how, So again, that's a really interesting layer, actually, now that I kind of think a bit more about it, right? And I don't think it's something that we've really touched on before, specifically between, operations and HR, let's say.
Getting there. We are going to have the whole list of ECM systems, Dave, very soon on
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about it, though, is there's two schools of thoughts in terms of how you would operate that business and build that system and, architecture. So, I won't go on a tangent, but really interesting.
Perfect. Great comments there. So let's go to the next one, I guess. Here we are talking about several different layers. So we are going to simply touch on some of the terms the way they have used. So they have used the term called procurement lifecycle, but be careful. Procurement lifecycle is only, mentioned from the transportation perspective. So it is not meant to be generalized procurement. They should be careful in overstating their opinion, I guess. Yes, freight procurement, also called logistics procurement. Here they have clarified, and that's how it should be worded. In my mind, the more clear you are, the easier it is for the customers. It's the process of purchasing transportation. So they are trying to describe that. Then here our freight procurement software ensures carrier compliance and enables you to transfer contracted rates to your ERP or TMS. So now the light bulb is going to go on. Okay, so you were TMS and you are transferring it to another TMS. What the hell is going on here? But the TMS space could be very interwoven in general. Companies might be using multiple TMS. So this particular component might be used only for that source to pay component. And they might be using another TMS, such as SAP Oracle, for the execution component. So there's a possibility. That's why they have worded it this way. And they are probably selling a lot of add-ons, as separate. Yeah, but that is sort of the handshake there between these two systems, I guess. Your company can maintain buying power, reduce time spent looking for the best partner, and focus on a strategic approach to transport, procurement, planning, and sourcing. I don't have anything else there that I wanted to hit on, so I'll go for some more. Now, reusable packaging management, very, very, very new concept for me. I've never seen that before with any other TMS systems. This is very, very, very interesting. Maybe E2Open has it, but I mean, I didn't see that listed as the capability. So either it is because it's a very unique industry where they require reusable packaging management. These guys do a lot of business in the chemicals industry. Maybe it is there, but this is a very interesting term that they have used. Variable packaging is all the time. So this is tracking the whole packaging world, which is complex in itself. Packaging has its own sort of life cycle. Networks with complex packaging processes for a coordinated control tower view. So you have control tower view now for packaging as well. Oh my God, how many different control towers do we need? Now we will probably need a control tower for all of the control towers that we have.
You need a consolidated view.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Okay, do we have any here? So yeah, so overall, I guess, you know, they are doing a lot of different things. Serialized packaging is very interesting. Packaging fee settlement is very interesting as well. So there's something going on that we are not sure what it is. It may be very specific to the industry. So if you use reusable packaging management in your industry, do a little bit of research. These guys could be a great fit for that, just because they have that capability. Now, they have specified here in terms of their capability. So this is, again, they are very, very, very concentrated in Europe. The way their offerings are mentioned, even though sometimes it might be confusing in their marketing messaging where their focus is, but they are really concentrated in some countries, just 5-6 countries. Okay, so now this is the UI view of their network. Obviously, this is how most visibility platforms look. The UI may not be as modern, even though they are calling themselves as cloud native. So this is going to be your network planning where you can do a lot of things. You can do the optimization piece as well. And this is going to be your optimization of different routes, which is very, very, very interesting. I don't think we have seen the optimization piece. It wasn't as expressed as how these guys have provided. And this whole optimization workflow could be, you will require a lot of firepower, you know, overall from the transaction processing perspective to be able to do this. So I like it a lot, to be completely honest. I mean, if you're heavy into transportation, then this is going to be a goal. So Dave, right now we have roughly about 2 minutes, you know, on our clock. Do you want to go for some more slides or comments?
Yeah, we can cover a couple of, if you want to hit a couple of the reviews, that's fine.
Okay, so here, this is the architectural view. Again, everybody sort of designs this from their perspective, but you need to pay attention to what is your architecture. This is a very TMS perspective here. Your EDI is probably going to be all over the place. Sometimes it might make sense, but sometimes. So you really need to design your own architecture, your own dictionary.
I wish it was that simple.
Right? Dave, just grab it, man. Grab the architecture, you know, out of the box architecture. How is that? Okay, so this review is coming from Gartner. They are complaining about user interface. That's our assessment as well, that user interface is not as great. You know, they were compared with Mercurygate, which would be my assessment as well. But they did this in India. So India, they are buying both of these platforms, which is very interesting. Okay, now this is media, $500 million to $1 billion in revenue. Here, maintaining the settlement records and also checking the real-time routing and movement of goods. It can trace the products globally, and hence it has no national boundaries to work. So it's a global solution. That's the conclusion that you can probably draw from there. Comprehensive systematic tracking, contract management is currently out of scope of this tool, for which we use other tool to negotiate the price. So CLM is a, you know, component as well. I don't know how many tweets can do the CLM capabilities, but these guys seem to be really big into that. What is that? Freight benchmarking is the term. Freight audit is very common. Freight benchmarking they have used, and they have used contract management as well. So, which is very interesting. Again, this is coming from India. India is buying a lot of TMS, I guess.
Yeah.
So Dave, you know, we can take some comments, I guess, now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly an interesting, interesting platform. Pretty incredible to see the, you know, the growth and the strategic side coming together in terms of the partnerships. So, you know, like everything that we talk about in review, it really comes down to taking a look at, you know, where you're at today, your needs, and evaluating it through that lens. I mean, I think for me, a couple of the great things that came out of today is, you know, going back and identifying those, the terminology. I think that is beyond appropriate. And, you know, Yeah, I think that's probably the one of the best things that came out for today. Great reminder that we have to be on the same page when we're talking about.
Yeah, could not agree more. Great comments. And it's all about language, you know, with ERP, TMS. Doesn't matter which systems you are going to use. Build your own language, align your understanding with every single vendor that is going to be part of the deal. That will make your life much easier. Dave, any other comments before we wrap?
No, I don't think so, Sam.
Awesome. So that's it for today. If you guys joined for the first time, this was part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. We review one vendor or the solution. So make sure you are going to be here next or the following week.
Yeah,
I don't think we are going to be there next week. Yeah, we are off. So yeah, I'll see you in that week. On that note, thanks everyone for tuning in.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Dave Chrysler, head over to thechrysler.club, chrysler.club. If you want to learn more about Andy Pratico, head over to esoft.com, it's esoft.com. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.